Welcome to the audio podcast of The Table at Central United Methodist Church. The podcast currently features the messages of Matt Smith and Linda Du Hirsu.
With a musical introduction by Brendan Lowe, our director of music. Thanks for listening.
I've been in the storm so long, singing, oh Lord, give me more time to pray. You know I've been in the storm so very long.
Jesus and led him away, bringing him into the high priest's house. But Peter was following at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And then a servant girl, seeing him in the firelight, stared at him. And she said, "This man also was with him." But he denied it, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." A little later, someone else, on seeing him, said, "You also are one of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then about an hour later, still another kept insisting, "Surely this man also was with him, for he's a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." At that moment, while he was still speaking, the cock crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord and how he had said to him, "Before the cock crows today, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly.
Is not lost, is not lost. All is not lost, is not lost. The pain of life, I know it well, it knows me well. The road to peace, I know is hell. I know it well.
It began apocalyptically, then it got worse. That's the opening line in a feature in this week's San Francisco Chronicle by Kevin Fagan. Kevin is using 10 interviews to look back on 10 dark days in November 1978, 40 years ago. It's when Jim Jones had moved his San Francisco church en masse to South America, where he choreographed the massacre of 913 People's Temple members. And then 10 days later, the mayor of San Francisco and Harvey Milk, the city's first openly gay supervisor, were killed by a former supervisor. And 40 years later, and those opening lines feel absolutely written for this day. It began apocalyptically, and then it got worse. Just after 11 p.m. on November 7th, a 28-year-old Marine veteran walked into the Borderline Bar and Grill while they were celebrating college night and opened fire, killing 11, injuring more, and then taking his own life. And then just hours later, the campfire erupted in Butte County, and here we are now, 10 days later, just after that moment. Our technology is failing us as we move on fail forward. Which, as an aside, I do want to say we walked in this morning and the lights wouldn't turn on and the heat didn't work in the social hall, so never again will we call a series fail forward. I don't care what Linda says. And we laugh because, honestly, we have to, because when we look around at what's happening around us and in the world, and you see the images of a school district that's gone, but children who still need to go to school, there's really nowhere to turn that feels like those seeds of hope that our musicians were helping us to hold on to. And we know now that this is the deadliest and most destructive blaze in our state's history. Began apocalyptically, and then it got worse. I think those lines really work for the scripture that we picked for our worship this morning, and we selected these months and months ago. We rarely break from the lectionary, but every once in a while we do here at the table, and we wanted during these 4 weeks to hold our lives in conversation with the movement of Peter's story, and to do that it meant shifting from moving through the readings assigned to the global church and trying to just find our way through his life together. And we opened this worship series with Linda reflecting on how Peter kind of sensed himself as a failure as he was first called to follow Jesus back before his name was even Peter. And then last week, Joey challenged us to break down what do we even mean when we say failure. He encouraged us to learn alongside Peter, who needed Jesus to reframe his expectations of ministry. And so Joey was helping us look at just what that word failure means. And next week, we will hear from Peter as he shares his very first message on the other side of resurrection. But this morning, we're going to spend time with Peter as he moves through a dark night that began apocalyptically and then got worse. It began, as many of us have recounted over and over through the practice of breaking bread, it began while Peter and the disciples were together with Jesus at a table. They were celebrating the Israelites being freed from slavery. And after telling the story of redemption while sharing that Passover meal, Jesus stands and he shares some devastating news. He says, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer." And then he took bread and says, "This is my body." And then a cup. "This cup is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." And then the apocalyptic gets even worse. Jesus confides that he knew that one of them that was at the table would betray him. And then he goes on to teach them again, sharing that the greatest must become like the least or the youngest, and reminds them over and over that he is one who is called to serve. And Peter, I just don't think he could take it in. I don't really know what was going on for Peter in that moment, but he couldn't hold all of what Jesus was sharing. I imagine that he was maybe confused. He was maybe upset. He wanted to correct Jesus, or maybe it was just so much that he had just like dozed off, like, "I can't take in any more images." So Jesus says, "Simon, Simon, listen." And I imagine Peter is like jolted from the fog. You know those moments where you're kind of in a daze and something happens and you come forward and he stammers and he says, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you to prison and to death." That is a big, deep commitment. like he is stumbling to, I am ready to follow you. And Jesus looks on and says, I tell you, Peter, the cock will not crow this day until you have denied three times that you know me. It continues to get worse as Jesus goes out with his disciples to the Mount of Olives to pray, and he gives them just one directive, just one. Stay here and pray that you will not come into a time of trial. And then Jesus leaves them alone. And when he returns, they're asleep. One directive. It says they're asleep because of grief. And so I've been wondering this week as we look on at the images from the campfire, like what is that sense that you just need to collapse because you've just taken in too much into your body? Emotionally overwhelmed to the point of exhaustion is what I imagine they were feeling. They had one job, just pray that you're not going to come into a time of trial, and they failed. And with that failure, a crowd converges, and Judas then leans in to kiss Jesus, and he's followed by the chief priests and the temple police and the elders, and then swords are drawn, an ear is cut off, Jesus is seized, he's taken away. That's the dark night that Peter is moving through, that we're trying to hold ourselves in conversation to. And after it, Peter gathers around a fire in the courtyard. And he's identified by a servant girl who sees him and wonders, like, this is one that's been with Jesus. And he says, woman, I do not know him. And then an hour later, still in the night, he's identified again for being one that made a deep commitment to Jesus on the way. And Peter again says, man, I am not the one you're thinking about, not me. And then an hour later, another is insisting, it has to be him. He's a Galilean, like, look at him. Peter says, man, I do not know what you are talking about. Am I with him? Nope. And at that moment, the cock crowed. And Peter felt Jesus, is what I imagine, turn and look at him. He had, up to that moment, like no feedback loops to notice that he was not in alignment with who he said he wanted to be. But at that moment, he saw the face of God, as Omari just sang it, looking at him. And he remembered. He remembered how he'd leapt to his feet and announced to Jesus that, I'm going to follow you to prison and to death. And yet the sun hadn't risen, and he'd already broken the promise. And Luke's gospel says, and he went out and wept bitterly. So the dark night continues for him into the moment or into the morning. And all he had to do was just say, yes, I'm with him, and see what had happened. He'd made a deep commitment like hours ago to Jesus, and he had failed in following through. In the heat of the moment, Peter didn't have any feedback loops while he was by himself to say, I'm drifting or wandering from the way that I want to be. So we witness in this moment over and over and over, Peter continuing to go to the places he says he doesn't want to go to. Deeper and deeper, further and further from alignment with the way he wants to be in the world. He could have been ready if he'd like had somebody to check in with him after he said no to the woman and be like, well, that wasn't my best, but I can try this again. And then the second time, like, he could have had something trigger to say, yeah, I'm in, but he doesn't. He fails or is fooled not once, not twice, but a third time he does the same. And then while Peter didn't have any feedback loops to help him find his way, God or Jesus did in that moment. And it was the sound of a cock crowing, or the image for me of like a mirror being held up to him as he looks at himself, and he finds himself stumbling out, running away, weeping bitterly. So in our first week of this worship series, we playfully presented a professor who went viral not because of this like exhaustive curriculum vitae that he has, not because all of the hundreds upon hundreds of lectures that he's given, but he went viral because of his CV of failure, his curriculum vitae of failure. In a culture that idolizes success, we were trying to reflect on how our Christian tradition might help us or embolden us to learn from failing And last week, we were reminded that sometimes our failures have to do with the false and limiting expectations that we hold. So instead of viewing failure as a lack of success, we wonder together about failure as a breaking down of expectations. But this morning's life lesson from Peter feels really different than both of those. Kipling has a poem, it's called If, and it opens with these words. If you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same. And I believe that when Peter was running away weeping bitterly, he would have called BS. Like, there is no way that triumph and disaster are imposters in the place that he is finding himself right now. They are, in fact, as real as anything they can imagine. Disaster. Within hours, Jesus would be tried and then hung on a cross, and the dark night for Peter that began apocalyptically was going to get worse. And that's the kind of failure I want to invite us to hold today. Not the failures we learn from alongside others as we innovate and adapt our way towards success by learning from our stumblings. Not the failure we move through as we deconstruct false expectations and limiting worldviews on our way to redefining failure and success. But the kind of failure in which we betray the very center of who we want to be. And then a mirror is held up to us, and we just have to look on at ourselves. Failed. Peter made a deep commitment to Jesus, and he thought he was ready to follow him to prison and to death. But the truth is, Peter's deep commitment fell to the wayside as soon as Jesus was seized and taken away. Rob Bell shared in a message not long ago at Duke Divinity School, Rob says, God takes blood and rejection and a spear in the side and abandonment of the disciples, takes the whole big mess, and out of it makes something beautiful. The cock crowed and a mirror was held before Peter, and he went out and he wept bitterly. And that's the moment I want to invite us to try to stay in as much as we can this morning, that dark night experience of the big mess. It's the F word that we're taught to avoid in our churches. And yet it's the F word that's at the heart of our Christian tradition, failure. There's an Episcopal priest named Sam Wells, and he says, failure is at the heart of Christianity. After all, the symbol of Christianity right in front of us, the symbol of Christianity is a man dying alone in agony, rejected by the great many and abandoned by the close few. Christianity is founded above all on the forgiveness of sins, which is something you only get to discover the day you have the courage and the humility to say, I realize I've been wrong, I've failed, and I'm sorry. Christianity is like a 12-step program you only get to be a part of if you're prepared to say those terrifying words, I have failed. We won't encounter Peter again in the Gospel of Luke for another two chapters, so we're left to wonder what that process might have looked like for him in recognizing the way that he had failed. The next time that Peter shows up, it's after the women have gone to the tomb early in the morning on the other side of Easter. The women come back to tell the men, and shockingly, the men don't believe them. Peter runs, though, to see for himself, and Luke 24 says it this way. Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. And I started to wonder this week if, like, the notion of Peter in Luke 22 running away weeping is really contrasted with him running away amazed And we're supposed to wonder about what happened in those two chapters for him in his life, like how he moved through that dark night and then came to this new place. And the truth that I found is maybe he didn't do it at all. I think it maybe just happened as he kept breathing in and breathing out and taking another step. See, Peter's name in the Greek, it's Petros. It means rock. It's often translated as like stone or boulder. I think that's how a lot of us construct our image of what it means to be Christian. Like it's this stone rock foundation. It can also just translate as like rocky terrain. What a contrast. Like built on a boulder or built on a rocky terrain. Like rocky terrain, that's not very fun to walk on. I have like really weak feet. I need like shoes on. Eleanor can like do it on her little, I can't do that. And even if she can, we need to like hold on to each other on rocky terrain, right? That's different than boulders. It's a pretty remarkable thing that Jesus would look on at Peter, at Petros, at rock, and decide to go all in to say that the foundation of the ecclesia or the church would be built on rocky terrain. Honestly, it's a terrible strategy. It's terrible. There is nothing good about this as a way forward. Like, why do that? I want a boulder to build this on, not rocky terrain. Why take the disciple who didn't initially feel worthy and then completely misunderstood you through most all of your entire ministry, and then utterly failed you in your final hours and say, yep, gonna build the church on this. That is a bad idea in every way. See, if Christian community and following Jesus were about getting everything right, about being a good person, succeeding, this strategy of Jesus was an epic fail. I want to say that again because I think so many of us confuse Christianity entirely. We think it's about we're going to be a good person, succeed in this way. That's not what Jesus was about. That's not actually what church is about. It seems to me that Jesus was putting his hope in Peter, not because he knew Peter was going to get it right, but because he trusted that God's love would meet Peter in whatever failure he found himself and would be with him, and would live through that. Do you feel the difference between those ways? I'm not sure that all of us do. See, a lot of us haven't yet taken time to share what we here at the table call our deep commitments. This is a conversation partner for me and for Linda to have with you all about how we want to imagine worship for the year ahead. This is a way that our leadership teams come together and say, we want to structure our growing ministries like this so we can figure out how to welcome God's people in this place and then accompany and journey with them as they too fail, like Peter, and we alongside them forward. And we've been feeling a little bit of failure as we look on. Weeks into trying this deep commitment thing, we're like, well, we just reached halfway. Woohoo! Again, sometimes I have to joke because it just hits too close to home, right? That's one of the ways I say no when somebody says, are you with him? No. I have to back away from it. We wanted to be further along, and my sense is that some folks just haven't gotten around to it. Like, life is chaotic right now. Really and truly it is. And so I get that. I get that's real. That's true. We're also wondering, though, that it feels like some folks hold back out of fear. And that's different than holding back because life is busy. Fear that, you know, I'm not really sure if my deep commitment matters. I'm not really sure that I can stick with it. Not really sure that I'm good enough to call myself a follower of Jesus. And in that sense, I think we start to think that God builds a church on rocks that say perfect, success, love, succeed, grow. What though, friends, if God doesn't build community on the best parts of ourselves, the parts that we project on social media or at dinner parties when we're awkwardly trying to make our way and define ourselves but to other people by what we do. What if the words that are written on Petros, on Peter, on rock in the New Testament, that God says, those are the words I want to use, include confused, running away, weeping, betraying, even the F word, failure. When we find ourselves in times that begin apocalyptically and then get worse, God says, I can work with this. Not just the love and the growth and the success, but God says, I have room for pain and loss and failure. So I don't know what words are written on the stones of your lives these days, but I know that God isn't afraid to meet you or to meet us in those hard places, those rocky terrains. So may we be willing to offer the fullness of who we are to God. And may we have the courage and the humility to truly see and acknowledge and live through the places in our lives in which we're failing to be the people we long to be. And may we trust that God will build community on even those shadow parts, those rocky terrains that are the truth of our lives. Amen.
You are the Savior, and you take brokenness aside.